Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. Hello, Sarah.
Oh, hello there.
And hello, Chris.
Hiya.
Now, Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz once said there's no place like home. For some, home ends up being a different place to where life began. For others, home will always be the town they grew up in. For others, home might be something or somewhere entirely different. Today, we're answering this question. Is home really where the heart is?
So I actually really struggle with the concept of home and where home is because, as if you've listened to the show before, you'll know, I'm from Wales, very proudly so. My family still lives in the house that, you know, they've always had that house in my whole life. And yet I haven't actually lived there. Like, I moved to London in, nearly 10 years I've been in London.
Yeah.
But I still say, when I'm going home, going back to Wales, going home.
Mm-hmm. When you're in Wales, do you say that when you're going back to London, though?
Oh, that's a good question.
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah. You know what? I think it's actually changed since I stopped renting.
Oh.
Because...
Get out of you on the ladder.
Oh, well, what am I like? No, I'm extremely fortunate.
Should we pull in that ladder up?
And I know, for a lot of people, like, it's not possible. And, you know, our housing...
Oh, don't apologise. You bought somewhere. Just don't worry about it.
I'll enjoy it. Okay.
Yeah. It's just all those other properties that you bought. That was unnecessary.
Being a multi-property landlord.
Exactly. Yeah.
But there is definitely something about once you have a place that is yours. And for example, this might sound silly, but like if I want to put a picture on the wall, I can put a picture on the wall.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to answer to anyone. I don't have to apologize for a bit of blue tack making a mark on the wallpaper or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like actually being able to say it's mine.
Are you talking about your home in Wales or you know, not putting blue tack up and being scared of your mum?
I actually wasn't allowed to put blue tack on the wallpaper when I had wallpaper. Because it does mark it horribly.
It does, yes.
You can get white tack, though. That stops it doing that.
Oh, no. Don't trust that stuff.
I see what you mean, though, Sarah. I think when one is... Because you're putting down roots, essentially, because you're saying, right, I am wedging myself here, if you like. and it will, you know, something... There's not a quick getaway. Of course, you can get away, but the more paperwork, the more you have to sign, the more money you part with. That does make it obviously more binding, and you can't make that quick escape into the night, which I know you're partial to.
I think when you said putting down roots, I think that is a big thing because even though like Wales is where I'm from, and like this house, I love it. I'm actually recording this in Wales. I love it here and I feel like it's where I'm from. But once you do decide like I'm putting down roots here somewhere else, that does start to feel like home. And I couldn't just up and leave. I couldn't, you know, but then I suppose it also comes down to who is like, I think home is also people as well.
Do you?
So, for example, like, say, if my family left Wales,
would I still
think about it as home? I don't know. I'm not sure if I would. I don't know.
That happened to my wife, all of her family and friends. She grew up in Coventry and no one lives. There's like maybe two or three of her friends live there now, but she does not see that place as home.
Yeah.
Because no one's there anymore. Even though her school, I think she left when she was 18 to go to university. Everything was there. But as you said, because of the connection with people, and in a way, she's a bit like, there's nothing to go back there for now. There's the people have all left. There's no point going back. And so it very much for her feels like that was just a time in her life where it was home, but definitely isn't home any longer.
That I think that is quite interesting because, it feels like the nest has moved, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
And perhaps she's broken ties with that place. Yeah. Just, you know, just that's the way it's gone, not sort of purposely or anything like that. Yeah. Do you feel that, Chris? I mean, for yourself, you, am I right in saying you grew up in a couple of different places?
Yeah.
A bit like me, really. I grew up in Edinburgh and Surrey. Obviously not at the same time, you know, wasn't being bussed from one to the other. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Weekends in Surrey, you know, and secondary school during the week. No, it wasn't like that. But Chris, you did, didn't you? So what's your concept of this idea of home?
Started off in Oxford and then grew up mostly down in Devon and then moved to, I think lived in Swansea for a year, which we talked about pre-show. Home, my mum and dad moved from the family home we grew up in when I left to go to London. So this concept of home, again, doesn't exist in terms of, oh, I'm going home. I wonder if they'd stayed in the family home, whether I would still see that as my home. But I think home is where you feel safe and comfortable to be yourself.
Mm.
So now, for me, I asked if you say you're going home when you're returning to London. London is my home now because that's where I've become myself. I've become more me and feel mm-hmm. safe to be me. Not that I wasn't in my family home, but that's where I am now. That's just kind of the home where I feel. Yeah, it's like it. London's busy, London's brilliant, London's a problem, London's all these things, but it just, I feel like I'm home when I come back.
But do you think though, with London, we've often said this before, and I appreciate people who don't live in London probably get sick of London as banging
shut
on
up,
about
guy.
London. Yeah, exactly. And
Sarah did
and
mention sure... Wales 7 times earlier.
Exactly.
So, yeah, she's spreading it out.
If we do have Welsh listeners, I think you've had your fill already, yeah. Thank you.
She's on commission.
Yeah. No, I think that when you live, let's not name it then. When you live in a sort of a mega city, if you like,
yeah.
the dynamics of such a city, wherever it may be in the world, is... the idea of something being local is probably less and takes on a whole different meaning.
Yeah,
and I think often, you know, I'm, you know, having grown up on the outskirts of Edinburgh, but then having then moved down to a village in Surrey, I think of that idea of something called home. It's a bit more villagey. It's a bit more, as I say, local, if you see what I mean. London, I think it can be quite tricky to put down roots and then feel that you belong there. Because as you sort of alluded to, Chris, the city is in a constant state of flux. There's mm-hmm. people coming and going all the time. Often people are renting as well, as, you know, recently managed to fight tooth and nail to get on the ladder. But, you know, that's how it is. But I do feel London is home now. And I think your idea of it being sort of people and that kind of thing, Sarah, is the reason why I think of London as home is when I do go to, say, Ashted, which is the village in Surrey where my parents live and where I have a lot of friends and a lot of people down there. But if I was to move back to Ashted, it would be all set up for me. If you see what I mean, I've got my friends, you know, church is there, you commute to London, all that sort of business. But actually, even in London, yeah, I know my neighbours and so on, not everybody does, but there is a mindset, there is a way of life, there is a culture of living in London, which I am now acclimatized to. I still don't necessarily call myself a Londoner because I think that I've not been brought up here. And I think if you have been brought up in London, then you get certain things that you just will never get if you've never been brought up in the city, if you see what I mean. But I do feel I'm almost like an adopted Londoner, if you see what I mean, even though that does sound a bit wanky.
Yeah. It's funny, when I lived in America for a year and I didn't think of London as home then. It was very much Britain. Mm. So I really had this, what did I used to crave? It would be things like a good sandwich.
Surely you can get a good sandwich.
They were different. It's just different. It's just different, isn't it? Like the cheese is different there. Like it's just a different flavor and it didn't feel as healthy.
Subway's not a sandwich. Is it?
Yeah. Food was definitely a big thing. But it wasn't London food. It was kind of Britain and our culture. The BBC, sort of stuff like that thing that would make you feel like,
but you said you really got into Fox News when you were out there.
Get out of it, you. Naughty. And things like that. And also, it's funny, the things that I would want with me to make me feel at home in a sense, even though I was abroad for a year. Your podcast, The Football Ramble.
Yeah, God bless you.
It would be certain things that I would feel like I'd feel okay. I'd feel at home. Mm. With my pillow and my coffee and certain home comforts and that's where for me home is transferable. When you've got a few home comforts that you can take with you from place to place, you can still recreate that sense of, again, I said earlier, like safety and that place where I can be me.
Yeah, true enough. I mean, it is interesting living in a big city where you have lots of people whose parents or grandparents maybe are from different places or people themselves. Like, as I say, I am not from London originally, you know, so I put myself in that bracket. But you can get, so people like to belong to something, I think, yeah, generally speaking. Definitely. That can play out in very various ways, of course. But I do think, and I've done this as well, but people sometimes like to identify with somewhere else. And I did this a little bit growing up in Edinburgh, that my family were all English. Now, I would say that in Scotland, they don't really give you the option of being kind of a bit Scottish and a bit English. Right. I know some people might say, well, you're all British. Yeah, you'd think. you know, it was sometimes, I mean, this goes into, you know, we talked about it before in a podcast, you know, how important is nationality or something like that. And I suppose, I think it was more put on me, especially being into football, you know, and all that kind of crap that goes with that.
There's a little rivalry between the football teams, isn't there?
Exactly, yeah. So you have, you know, England and Scotland and so on. And people can then say, well, you're English, you're not from here kind of thing. Now, that's obviously quite sort of mild, even though as a young lad, you know, that can be quite a tricky one to manage. But I think in some places, you get the, and we'll use you know, British examples, perhaps, because then we might not get into kind of, on beyond thin ice. But you get people who say, often you move down from the north of England to London, and they'll say, oh, I'm a northerner. And they characterize themselves as the northerner in London, and a bit more working class and a bit more salt of the earth and all that kind of stuff. And that's absolutely fine. But at some point, there's a tipping point, whereas actually they will suddenly become a bit more acclimatized to London, and then when they start going home, that everyone back in their northern town or whatever says, oh, you sound like a southerner now, and they do get acclimatized to certain foods, and they like avocado and all this sort of stuff. You know what I mean? And you know, so you, some people really don't let go of where they're from, even though I would know one or two people that I would suggest, you're just not from, you know, Teesside anymore. You're not from Derbyshire anymore. You're not from Manchester anymore. Of course, you'll always know that vibe, but you are clearly, you know, a bit of an adopted Londoner now.
But I think there's something to be said, though, of like, we like things to be simple, don't we? We like to say, I am Welsh, or I am X, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
You can be both. You can.
Yeah.
Well, I'm from Teesside, but actually, for the last 10 years, I've been a Londoner or whatever. Mm. Like, you don't have to put yourself in a, like you were saying, like the Northerner in London is a classic one.
Yeah.
I never even knew about the North South divide until I went to university in Yorkshire, and suddenly it was, oh, you're a Northerner or a Southerner, and I was like, neither.
Yeah.
I'm from the
Midlands? Don't forget us.
Yeah.
No one wants the Midlands. That's a joke. We love the Midlands.
Poor old Midlanders, eh? Well, the English word home is from the old English word ham, not the pig, which refers to a village.
Noah's son.
Or, if you like, refers to a village or an estate where many souls are gathered.
Oh, like a Hamlet.
Exactly. It implies there's a physical dwelling involved. Yeah. Very proud of that one. It implies there's a physical dwelling involved, but the main idea is that it's a gathering of people. There's one definition I found on those internets. But you think about the word ham, you've got it in lots of places. Birmingham,
or West Ham.
Pronounce it as West Ham or East Ham. Durham, you don't say Durham. Yeah. Fulham, or Fulham, as we would say. Yeah. Newham, yeah, there's lots. But yeah, that is the that is the idea. But interestingly, a recent survey of about 2,500 Americans, obviously adults, was done, and they asked people to identify the place in your heart that you consider to be home. 38% of people did not identify the place they were currently living to be home. 26% said that home was where they were born or raised. 22% said it was where they lived now. 18% said home was the place they had lived the longest, and 15% said it's where their family had come from. And further than that, 4% said home was where they had gone to high school. So it's funny where people, because often some people, a lot of that stuff matches up. But as I say, in a huge city, or maybe now in a bit more sort of 21st century with people kind of moving around a bit more, I think it's less and less and less, you know, in some regards.
I think it used to be tied to geography, but I think, as you said, with more and more people on the move. I saw a statistic saying something like 220 million people now live in countries which are not their country of origin, which would be like the fifth biggest country on the earth.
Yeah, yeah.
Would be this kind of floating population. So actually, the more people that are on the move, the more the concept of home, it becomes a bit, is nebulous the right word? Like a bit more kind of ethereal, like it's not tied to geography as well. I think previously, probably over 100 years ago or so, it would have been geographical. But now it becomes something else.
Definitely. Yeah, I completely agree.
And I think there's something as well to be said for, you know, even 50 years ago, you probably would have lived near most of your family.
Yeah.
You know, so like even, you know, like when my dad was growing up, you know, he had his grandparents were down the road, aunties and uncles were down the road. Like everyone is within a relatively small area. Whereas like when I grew up, I have no family in Wales other than my nuclear family.
Mm.
And I wonder if you would feel different ties to a place if you sort of grew up surrounded by family in the same area.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because I know, like, if my parents left Wales or even left this house, I would certainly feel, I think I would feel different about the area. And so, yeah, I think it's interesting, as you say, how times have changed and how people tend, well, people don't tend to, but it's much more usual to move away from the place you grew up.
I think you one can feel maybe a little bit less anchored if their parents or somewhere sort of move away.
It will throw me totally.
Oh, completely, yeah. But I think but that's perfectly natural because again, it's that idea of a safe place. You know, it's a safe place. You're familiar with it. It's often the opposite of foreign, really, isn't it? It is familiar.
Yeah.
I remember watching, Simon Reeve, the guy who does a lot of travel documentaries and stuff, programs on the BBC. And he was in Haiti, I think it was. Yes, it was Haiti, who had suffered a terrible earthquake. I think they may have had one fairly recently, but it was 7 or 8 years ago. Perhaps they've had some shocking earthquakes, but it was a particularly bad one. Very sadly, a lot of people died and whatnot. And obviously, a lot of homes were destroyed and so on and so forth. Anyway, he went round there maybe a year on from this earthquake, and his tour guide was with him, showing him various places. And they went round one place, and he went, "Oh, this is where I grew up as a child." And the place was flattened; it wasn't there anymore.
Yeah.
And the guide got quite emotional, and he said, "It's just like where I lived. All my memories, everything has just been erased."
Yeah.
And I thought that would really, really throw you, that there's, because as you say, somewhere where you feel at home has gone.
And I guess it's that thing of when you know somewhere so intimately.
Yeah.
And for it to just not exist anymore.
Yeah.
Is kind of like, it kind of boggles the mind a bit. So for my father's from Ireland, and he once showed me the house that he was born in, like the place that it was in. The house is now totally gone. And I was just, you know, as I said, as someone who my parents have lived in this house their whole lives, I was kind of looking at this and I just thought, how do you get your brain around that this place that I lived and that I knew every nook and cranny of does not exist?
Yeah.
And it's that thing of like, I think I always think of buildings as being permanent, but they're not. Nothing's permanent.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I remember when I went back to visit my primary school in the village I grew up in, and they demolished a load of we had the old huts that you'd be in.
Yeah, we had the same.
And then they put a permanent building in its place. And it's just really bizarre to see, all the memories of, I don't know, growing up with your friends around those places are completely gone. But I was watching a TED talk by a guy called Pico Laya, and he talks about how he was an Indian who grew up in Britain but lives in California, and how his home and everything in it had been completely destroyed by wildfires. Oh, and he just this process of, gosh, everything's gone. All the stuff I'd brought with me from various homes, and I now have to find almost the home within, I think he called it. And it's a really, it does take your mind a long time, I think, to process what actually is my home, like this sense of home and belong. And Marcus, you talked about it earlier, belonging. Like, I think that's really the crux of home. Where do I belong? Mm-hmm. Which is, where are my people? Or where are those memories or those buildings that trigger memories that I had experiences in as well?
Yeah, I think that's it. But the belonging, and as you say, where are my people? Where's my sort of tribe, if you see what I mean? And again, hundreds of years ago, or maybe even not that long ago, or even in still some parts of the world, that's quite an obvious thing. Whereas nowadays it isn't. And or it's less obvious, perhaps. But... yeah, I think because your man there, you spoke about, you know, of Indian heritage, grew up in England or Britain, and had spent time in a lot of time in California. You know, there's a little bit going on there. There's different. I mean, yeah. An Indian's idea of home will be different to a Westerner's, probably. You know, very sort of different cultures, because to some extent we're all products of our own environment. Mm. You know, I think in the Western world we're obsessed with individualism,
yeah.
And I think sometimes we believe we can create where home is, and it's up to us. And so if I just move to that place, then that is home, and I can decide this. But actually, you're wise to think, no, hang on, there's something else going on here. And
the core of this concept of home.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, having said that, though, there will be sometimes you will go somewhere, and perhaps on a kind of a superficial level, on a kind of a holiday type level, you'll go to a city or somewhere and go, I feel at home here.
Yeah, I've had that in some places.
Go on, whereabouts is it?
Really, I went to... Because, like, I like living in the UK, and I've always lived in the UK, and it's where I feel comfortable. I've never really dreamt of living abroad.
Yeah, so.
But a few years ago, I went to Copenhagen.
Do you know what? I completely agree with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, there's yep. something about it, and it just felt... I thought, you know what? If tomorrow you told me you've got to live somewhere else in the world, anywhere...
Yep.
I'd pick there.
Do you know what, Sarah? I think that goes to show that perhaps it's maybe a thing. I don't know.
British, like there's something about it that's...
Possibly. The two places I've felt that the most are Copenhagen and Berlin. And I think that culturally they'll be similar to, say, if you compare them to, say, like, I don't know, Rome and Seville or something like that. You know, they're Northern European, mm-hmm. and Germans are quite similar to British people, I think. And then the Danes as well. The Danes are more like the Irish of Scandinavia, but they're still Scandinavian, if you see what I mean. and so there'll be things like that. Maybe the architecture is not a million miles away.
Yeah.
The climate, blah-de-blah-de-blah.
It did rain quite a lot.
It did rain. But even though it's much smaller, I think it's a fairly kind of liberal, open-minded, cosmopolitan city. Berlin, definitely. But Copenhagen, I still would probably say that without knowing the place that well. They obviously speak good English, so maybe language wasn't a barrier as well.
Do you think there's also like behaviours that you would have observed and you might not even realise? So, we British people like to queue. You know, or line up properly. So if you're in an environment, I remember being in Lagos in Nigeria, and I think I mentioned before, like chaos. So
chaos.
It felt really unusual for me or unsafe. I didn't feel like I could belong there. But then if I went to other places where maybe they drove in the same way as us, or they just all these sort of kind of micro behaviors you pick up on, that's the thing. You go, oh, I could be here. Like I feel comfortable in this place.
But on a more local level, though, do you feel that now, Chris? If you went back to the places where you grew up, if you went back to Devon or something, do you think to yourself, and it can change, the concept of home can change, it's not a permanent thing, as we've said. Do you think now, because again, stages of life, you're wanting to settle down a bit as you get older, all that kind of stuff, that maybe, so for me, sometimes if I go back to Surrey, I think, it's a bit, so maybe it's a bit too slow, or I like the idea of thinking, right, well, what's for dinner? Well, we can choose anywhere, any food from around the planet, or well, whatever it may be, all these sort of silly things that may be a bit superficial.
When we change, then the concept of home would change as well. So you're right. So would I go back to where I grew up? I don't think I would, because I think
you've acclimatized to London as well.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And what I like and what I want has changed from when I lived there before. So would I feel comfortable? Probably not.
I think home is also where you feel you should be. And I don't mean that of a sense of sort of obligation and dread or whatever. I just think that, you know, if I go back to, say, Surrey, or go up to Edinburgh to see my mates, because Edinburgh still does feel like home as well. I feel in a weird way. I've got a couple of mates there, but I feel sometimes when I go up there, because I lived there from the age of 1 to 16, I feel like if I go up there, and I didn't go to posh school, in case people are wondering why I don't have a Scottish accent, it just didn't happen for whatever reason. But and if I did, that would be all right. We're not here to judge, are we, Sarah?
Exactly.
Exactly. I almost feel sometimes I will sort of pass myself living a parallel life off
Edinburgh. I feel that sometimes.
Yeah, it's quite annoying.
Well, you'll pass Marcus's parallel life when you're in Edinburgh.
Yeah, McMarcus is up there doing something.
But I can see it.
I can see how it would play out in Edinburgh, you know, and it would be good as well. But I feel that if I spent a bit of time up there, or if I was in Surrey, you know, even if I was with my wife and all that, I'm not saying like on a holiday, I just feel like, yeah, this is great, but it's not where I should be. It's not. And actually returning to Southwest London where I live, I'm like, yeah, this is where I should be. Mm. I love going on holiday. I love visiting friends or whatever, but that idea of right, I've returned home now, life is, I don't know, can continue if you've had a holiday, if you like, or resume or whatever would be the word.
I think I definitely sort of feel that, not necessarily about the future, but more in terms of I wouldn't be the person who I am, and I think I'm the right person today, and I know that if I had stayed where I was from, I definitely wouldn't be this person. And I'm glad I'm me. I'm glad I lived in York, I lived in London, and I'm glad I did those things. And that makes me almost feel at home as myself, if that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No, I completely get it. I completely get it. And we're glad that you are the way you are too.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Yeah,
I find it sad that where we're from is also becoming so politicized. That I'm now aware, like, to ask people where you're from is not something people feel comfortable with because of xenophobic attitudes in our sort of cultures and societies nowadays. That can almost be like a threat. Where are you from? As well, it's really
implying you're not from here.
Yeah, but it's also like they probably
you don't belong here,
and it's probably been followed up with, well, why don't you go home, or you know, that sort of stuff. So I find it really sad because I want to hear about people's homes. I want to connect with that stuff.
Yeah,
like I met a guy the other day, and because I'm interested, I just said, oh, where are you from? And he said, Jamaica. And he wasn't, he was Afghani. But he obviously felt like he couldn't, you know, he was making a joke of it, but he also felt very sensitive to the question of where's your home almost.
Oh,
and I was just like, well, you know, I worked for the UN for a long time. You know, I hope your family are okay, you know, at what's going on and stuff like that. Like, we had a really good conversation. He felt safe afterwards. Mm. But it's so sad that he, like, today you can't, I don't know, home is a tricky question. It's complex. Yeah. Some people grew up in a home which was so unsafe.
Mm,
and actually the
really
concept
point.
Of home is really, they don't want to connect. Actually, the memories trigger trauma. And so actually they do need to recreate. I'm just doing a stream of consciousness right now.
No, I think it's a really good point.
I get what you're saying completely, because I especially when I first moved to this big city we're in, you know, I was just fascinated, as I always am, about where people are from, but not just where they're from, where are you, you know, what are you interested in? You get a whole picture, but you kind of just in chronological order, I suppose, you sometimes ask where they're from, or you ask what they do. Yeah. I think that the ultimately you're trying to kind of, where does this person...
You're building a picture of them,
and I understand
you're trying
that...
connect as well, because if you've been from where they're from, you're like, oh, I loved it there, these are my experiences.
Totally, yeah.
Or my cousin's mate's girlfriend's brother's sister.
Exactly, yeah. Or if you haven't been there, then I'm so intrigued as to what people there do or whatever. But I think you try and build a picture of someone, and I understand a minority of people hate that, and so they don't want to be sort of boxed in or whatever. But we all do it. Like, you just inevitably, it's inescapable. But so when, you know, you go to places where there's lots of people, there's people from... just on a numbers game from different sort of backgrounds and so on. But I did learn quite quickly that if you ask people, oh, where are you from? Like you say, Sarah, you can sometimes make them feel, oh, well, you're not from around here. Where are you from? And that may not be a confrontational thing. That is just reminding them of, oh, by the way, I know you don't fit in here.
Their otherness.
So, yeah, their otherness, exactly. And so I think now, Chris, I agree with you that because I'm from, you know, I'm living in the country where I'm from, you know, it doesn't impact me. People get impacted by different things for the reasons, for some reasons you just said. And so actually you almost have to, at times, not always, of course, there's still plenty of people who are open to those kind of conversations, but you earn the right to ask that question, I think, sometimes, you know, which is sounds what you did with the chap you were just talking about. But I think it's fascinating where people call home and their idea of home, because I really do. But it is interesting that a lot of people who are from abroad now who live in England, but certainly in London, they do consider London home.
Mm. Yeah.
As they should do.
It's funny, isn't it? I
as if they feel that, by the way. That's
part
not
of
a
me,
reverse sort of, you know.
Yeah.
You should
like
feel
a
home.
Yeah, exactly. It's a minefield, this.
Part of me feels like one of the good tests for it is, you know, when you get off the train somewhere.
Yeah. Yep.
Do you go, oh, I'm home? Mm. And as we've been having this discussion, because I still don't know precisely where my home is or whatever, but when I get off the train in Cardiff, I feel that. But when I get off the overground where I live in London, I also feel it. So that's quite nice, really.
Sounds like you got two homes, Sarah.
What a good situation.
Two hearts.
What you should do is sell one and live off the
and
profits
rent one
forever.
And
yeah.
Yeah, charge an extortionate amount and never do any repairs.
Sarah's absolutely real life monopoly.
Exactly.
Can you imagine? You
just reduce the chance of somebody calling somewhere else home. Just
yeah.
So to do that.
Perfect. Yes.
And it's a wonderful note to finish on, Chris. I think you'll agree.
Yeah, fantastic.
I would just like to clarify, I'm not a dodgy landlord.
All right, okay. People will be able to read about you in the papers soon enough. Thank you very much for listening to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answer this week. It's been an absolute pleasure having you with us. Do check us out on Insta and Twitter at AQQAPod. Sometimes we ask the questions that we're going to answer ourselves and get your opinions on them. This was not one of those weeks, as you can tell, but we do ask it every now and then. And you'd be very welcome to give us your thoughts. So thanks very much for listening, as I say. Thank you very much, Sarah.
Thanks, Marcus.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you, good listeners. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.